We're so delighted to see all those kids going back there. So delighted. This morning, God wants us to be reminded of the hope that we have in Him. And whenever I first thought about this and received it, when I was supposed to deal with this particular issue, I thought about the hope of the elections coming up, that my hope is that God will be the one that intervenes and puts the people in office that He wants. We really need a revival in this country, all over the world. And my hope is that all of those that God's called will listen and come to Him. We know there's going to be some that won't. And that's unfortunate. But you and I have a responsibility to reach them because we have a hope. We need to share that hope. And so I guess this morning I want to share that hope again that Peter kind of shared with us. I'm going to read from 1 Peter chapter 1, and I'm going to start in verse 9. But I want us to be reminded of this Peter, and I'll bring this up again later. But I want us to be reminded of this Peter is the one that denied that he knew Jesus three times. But he was restored. He went on to be empowered through the Holy Spirit of God, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago at the day of Pentecost. He was empowered with the power of the Spirit of God. And it's the power of God that keeps you and I secure, awaiting His redeeming our souls. Peter, when he spoke this, it was after he had been restored to Christ, because if you think about it, he rebuked him, actually didn't rebuke him, he just denied him three times. But we know that after Jesus was resurrected, that he called for Peter to come to him. And he called him to repentance, which we know Peter was restored. And then Peter went on to receive the Holy Spirit. And Peter went on to preach a fantastic sermon in Acts chapter 2, if you'd ever read it. But then Peter went on to write these three particular letters that turns out to be a part of our New Testament, but we're talking about hope. We're talking about the type of hope that Peter had. Okay, if you might want to follow along with me, the heavenly inheritance that we have here that Peter's talking about. In verse 3, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, in whom, having not seen you love, though now you do not see Him, you yet believing, you rejoice with joy, inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." That scripture, my friends, is loaded with assurance and with hope that Peter had. Even though he went through some very trying times, when his faith was tried, his hope was restored. If you could imagine, Peter denied him three times. We know then that Jesus went to the cross and died. And Peter's hope sunk. But 3 days later, by the power of God, that hope was restored. And where we want to go with this particular message and where God has taken it this morning, that same hope that Peter had restored can be restored in each one of us. Sometimes when we go through the trials and the tribulations of life, as we are now in economic downturns, as it's difficult for many families to make things come together, we still have a hope that Jesus told us that He would not leave us, He would not forsake us. He told us He would take care of our every need, not our wants, but He'd take care of our needs. We still have that hope. And that's where Peter goes with this. You know, you and I both have at some point in time lost hope. That's the way life is. And I think you can probably think of an experience in your life where your hope was lost. And you wondered, can I ever get back where I was? But we see here that Peter is a great example. A great example. Hope is restored. It's just like He promises us, and we'll talk about it again later, but our very salvation is a hope that is there that we can depend upon because it is kept until the day of redemption, sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. That's a promise we have. The Bible tells us that Jesus is our hope. He is the only hope. We can hope for our country to be changed by the presidential election or the election of representatives or our senators. But they're not going to give you the hope that is substantial and sustaining and will go on into eternity. That hope only comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the only place it comes from. And when we receive Jesus by hope, and we understand that He went to that cross to die for our sins, was buried, but on the third day was raised by the power of God. That same power of God that raised Him from the dead will also one day perhaps raise us and give us that new glorified body that we're promised. A new beginning forever with Him where there will be no sin. Hope. Hope is what stabilizes our lives. And Jesus is that hope that will stabilize our lives, enabling us to go through every existing thing that we might have to face in this life. How awful it is to be without hope. I have seen those without hope, and they cry their eyes out. When they have a loved one that passes, they cry their eyes out that they're gone. Not that they're gone, but you know, the worst thing is there's no hope for them for into eternity. They are destined to a place that nobody wants to go. It's hard sometimes to go through the difficult things of life. Maybe dealing with a wayward child or a painful divorce. It's hard to deal sometimes with what the doctor reveals to us, that we have something that's going to have to require surgery or that may even be terminal. Those are difficult times. But you know, we always have hope. The hope that even if our life is lost here, that it's just a moving day, that we go from here to there. And that's the hope we can have as Christians. Without Jesus, that hope is hopeless. But with Jesus, it is a living hope because today He lives. Amen? He lives, and He lives in you and me through the power of His Spirit. In Proverbs, I want to go there. In Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 7, it says this: when a wicked man dies, his expectations will perish, and the hope of the unjust men perish. You can read that also in 1 John in chapter 5 and verses 11 through 13, where if you got Jesus, you got life. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have life. I can interchange that. If you got Jesus, you got hope. But if you don't have Jesus, you don't have hope. You see, hope is all dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is something that Simon Peter wants to bring out because he went through that. He had his hope restored. And you and I can have our hope restored. Regardless of what happens in this election process that's going on in this country, our hope is that our Lord Jesus Christ is going to care for each and every one of us. I guess we've got to just continue to hope and have faith. But I want us to see something. I want us to see something here in verse 3. Because in verse 3 of the scripture that we used in 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 3, we see, "Blessed be the God of our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy. I want us to pick up on that. Abundant mercy. You know, you and I don't deserve mercy. But He grants it to us. When we're going through the troubled times and the difficult times of life, it says, according to His abundant bunch of mercy. Abundant mercy. He has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." We think about the love. You can't separate mercy and love and faith from hope. Hope is what keeps us going. That's why I think Peter here in verse 3 that we just read, he begins with praising the Lord and he says, blessed to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know if you do that whenever you pray, but boy, we sure should. If you think about our God giving us all that we need and will ever need, and gives us more than what we really deserve through His abundant mercy and grace, how can we not love? How can we not love Him with all that we are and can be? He's an amazing God. He is our living hope because He lives. Let's praise the Lord today and keep on hoping. Mercy is something that we can't deserve, but He says, "I'll give it to you abundantly." You know, I think about my life and you can think about yours. There's times whenever I get upset that I'm just not very lovable, and that's human nature. But I'm so glad that God knows who I am. He knows what He did with me. He's had me to the woodshed like He's probably had you to the woodshed. And He's had to discipline you and me. But whenever we are a child of God and understand that because He loves us, He will admonish us and He will correct us. And that's why He does it, is because He loves us. You see, you and I, as we recognize that we were sinners in need of a Savior, when we recognized we were a sinner and the only way we could get rid of sin was to repent of it, be willing to turn from it, and as we returned, we removed ourselves from it and turned from it, then we could ask forgiveness and receive it, which sets up the whole hope process. That means when we can finally come to the point of understanding that we are absolutely rotten sinners and we needed to turn from it, we did, and then we asked His forgiveness, and then we said, "Yes, I believe You went to that cross and You died there. And yes, I believe You went to the grave. But on the third day, I believe You was raised by the power of God." The Bible says if you believe all of that, you shall be saved. King James says, "Thou shalt be saved." New King James says, "Will be saved." It's a certain thing. It will be. It will happen. Peter knew that. Peter knew that. Peter accepted that. And I'm so thankful that perhaps you and I are. Sometimes we fail the Lord, don't we? Sometimes we fail the Lord. Sometimes we don't listen to Him. You know what I'm so thankful of? Because of the hope that I have in Him. Even sometimes whenever I don't recognize that I have did something that hurts my Lord, He'll remind me through the power of His Spirit. And I have a hope that He'll restore me to Him. And my relationship with Him will go on. Because hope is based upon the reality of Jesus Christ and His righteousness. He makes us right. And it's the only way that we can be right is through Him. I want us to look at something else here in the Scripture. It says that we'll have that inheritance. I want to remind you that, one of the things that actually is going on in the election right now is the inheritance that actually the Jews have of Israel. Because God gave them that land, and God didn't take it back yet that I heard of. And so they really have that land. But I want to relate that. He didn't take that back, but I'm going to tell you something else. When you commit yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you accept Him as Lord and Savior, you have an inheritance. He says in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And He's going to do what? Take us to that place that He's prepared. You know, He's been gone now for 2,000 plus years. Well, about 2,000 years. I can't imagine the place that He has prepared for you. I read about it, and I mentioned that earlier. But the reality is, it's all based upon our hope. Our hope. Well, I've been talking about heaven. I've been talking here about and try to relate the hope that we have with how we can get to heaven and how great it's going to be. But you might say, well, okay, how's my hope relate to where I am right now? The difficulties that I go through in life. The down here problems, here and now, on this earth. I'm here. I'm not in heaven. It's going to be great in heaven, and I certainly look forward to that, and I have a hope of getting there. But what about the hope that I have here for the down and nasty things that sometimes we look at that happens here? Well, number one, I want you to be assured of is that you have a security system, because He says that right here. You can be assured in the inheritance that you have. You can go to the book of Ephesians in chapter 1, and you can read there where you're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption. You could go into John 10, and you could read where, no one can pluck you out of the Father's hand. Jesus says, I and the Father are one. You could go to the Romans 8 that says, nothing can separate us from the love of God. You could go to the 1 John 5 scripture that I already shared with you this morning. But we have a security system. And this morning, your hope, whenever it's depending upon that security system, I no longer have to be down and out. When things are happening to me, which we're going to talk about here in a minute in this life, we still have the security system. And it's one of the reasons that one of my favorite scriptures in all the Bible, which I love to sing the song, I am persuaded. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I committed against that day. I can know for sure. I'm persuaded. I know whom I have believed. When our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's where it needs to stay, in hope of Him through faith and the love that He shares with us. There's a living hope there, folks. You know, whenever I think about some biblical characters that you might think about, when I think about Noah, the flood came, but Noah was kept safe from the flood. If you think about Daniel thrown into the lion's den, but God preserved him, protected him from the lions. If you think about the Hebrew children that went through the fiery furnace, they come out the other side, not burned, because of a hope. And because of a Lord that was with them. Because even in the difficult times that we go through on this earth, we have a God that will always go through with us. Those circumstances. But why in the world, let's get down a little bit deeper. These things do happen on this earth. But whenever we have an enduring hope, if I can get down really a little bit deeper where we live, and really a little bit deeper of where our faith and our love needs to also come alive. That words I want to talk about are temptations. Not temptations that we will lose our salvation. I hope that that will never come about with what the Lord tells us. But the temptations, the trials, the tribulations, the problems that come into our lives, and the heaviness that sometimes we have because of worry, because of our lack of faith. I guess whenever we talk about, and he talks about that in here too, that our troubles come in different colors, a lot of various different colors. He's talking about of various ways that they come into our lives and then are introduced. Troubles. Maybe they're health problems. Maybe they're financial problems. Some of the things that you and I go through on a daily basis, we face. Let's talk about these things. Let's talk about them whenever we talk about hope. The troubles that we have are always going to come. They're going to come for a couple different reasons. One is, I believe, that God says, he said in this particular scripture here too, and that Peter wrote, he says, for a season they'll be with you. Whenever he talks about a season, he's talking about a period in time whenever you need to receive the wake-up call from him and to hear him convicting you through the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in you. And whenever you hear him and you're willing to make the change, you go through that enduring period, he says, for a short time. When you go through that short period, all of a sudden he gives you a victory. And he picks you back up out of down here at the base of the mountain, and he starts to take you back up the mountain again. And you have a new, fresh look at hope. You see, yes, the hope is alive. It is living. It is alive. And it will be with me. And it raises you to a new level of faith. That's one reason. I'll give you another one. Through that same process, he purifies your faith. You know, whenever difficulties come into our lives, troubles, tribulations, some of the things that are deep down inside of us that are really us, and if we face the facts, something called stubbornness. Oh, no one in here is stubborn, are they? Stubbornness, maybe selfishness, maybe that ugliness, as my wife says, coming out of Texas, ugliness. She's talking about those nasty things. Things that are down inside of us. Maybe it's bitterness. Bitterness over some things that have occurred in lives. Do you think that God maybe wants to remove those things? Maybe he allows some of those things to surface so he can kind of skim them off the top and get rid of them to purify your faith. Let me give you an analogy that might help understand that. When a goldsmith takes gold, if he wants it pure, he normally takes the gold and he puts it in a jar, or what they call a crucible. And he heats that crucible and he liquefies the gold. But when he liquefies the gold goes to the bottom. The impurities come to the top. And then the goldsmith can skim off the impurities to make the gold more pure. And that's kind of what God does with you and I. Because if you haven't recognized yet that you and I are really gold to our Lord, why else would he save you? You are very special to Him. But He wants you pure. He wants you to reach the point that you be just like Jesus when you go to heaven. And so there's a purification process that always goes on. And you say, well, gee whiz, these times that I go through on this earth, and they're so difficult, and you're saying that God is purifying me, then why does He keep the heat on so long? Sometimes it seems like the heat is on so long. He wants all the impurities to come to the top. And you're saying, well, wait a minute, why is He turning up the heat on me? No, but He'll keep you there until we're willing to see how God wants us to change. He's in control of the thermostat too, folks. He won't give you more than what you can tolerate. That's Scripture. But He likewise will have enough heat on to remove the impurities and purify your faith. I hope that makes sense to you. That's the way our God works. You can read Hebrews chapter 12 and get more assurance of that if you like, because to those that He loves, He will chastise. But that's how He chastises us. Things are in our lives, He needs to change it. He needs to remove the dross. He needs to remove the impurities. And those things come into our lives. You can argue that all you want, but that's how God works. You have to argue with His Word. The trial of your faith comes, but it is sustained through hope. And that hope is a living hope that will stay with you regardless of the trials and the tribulations that you go through on this earth. It's called trust Jesus. Trust Jesus. He gives you the hope. It turns out that there's a love that Jesus Christ has for each one of us because we are His children. You know how much you love your children. I know how much I love my children. Let's think about Jesus having all of us as His children. He loves you. He cares for you. And just like you have to correct your children to get the best out of them, He has to do the same with us, preparing us for the redemption day when He takes us to be with Him. It goes on in this life. If we understand that this life is nothing but a time that we go through to prepare us, to make us like Jesus. It's a preparation day. It's a time to prepare for being with Him forever. Why would He not do this? You say, why does He do it? I'm telling you why He does do it, but why wouldn't He not do it? Because He wouldn't not do it. Because, first of all, sin cannot inherit heaven. He wants us to be pure, and He keeps purifying our faith through the trials and the tribulations. I know that we all love the song, Jesus Loves Me, and He does. But let's remember that through that love, there should be a living hope that goes on. Tell you a little story. Little girl had a lot of dolls. And one day she was sitting in the middle of the floor, and she was sitting in the middle of all the dolls. And her mother walked into the room where she was sitting in the midst of all the dolls. And the little girl was crying. And she came in and she says, honey, why are you crying? Why are you crying? I don't understand. What's wrong? She says, well, I just love this one, and I 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 love this one. But they never loved me back. I wonder sometimes if you and I need to show more love to Jesus for the living hope that we have. Our hope is complete and secure through the believing faith that we have. But how much do we really show our love to a living Savior who has done it all for us and provided that living hope? That hope is a redeeming hope. And I want you to know, Christians, that we have the power, because he told us at least twice in the Bible that I'll give you all power to go and to tell others about this living hope that you have. I really can't understand that sometimes we seem to be afraid to tell others about the living hope that they can have. We should never be afraid to tell anybody about the living hope. And I hope you're never afraid to tell anybody about your church that's alive and well for Jesus Christ. That there's teaching going on here that will take you into the eternity. That there's classes for little ones that'll prepare their little hearts. But we have an opportunity. As we have those difficulties in our lives, let us remember the hope that we have, and it's a living hope, and that living hope will take us through any fire that will purify us and bring us out on the other side just like it did the Hebrew children. He will do it for you. And that's a hope that we have. Regardless of the election process, regardless of what might happen in your lives as Christians, let us be reminded of the living hope that we have in a living Savior that sits at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. And He's there for you, defending you every minute of every day before God the Father. When you are a Christian and Satan comes before the throne of God and says, "I don't know why you're wasting your time on that one. Look what they did, they did, they did, they did, they did." And Jesus speaks up for you because He's there as your defense attorney and says, "Let that one be, they're mine." He's your advocate before the throne of God. And that's part of, a big part of, the living hope, because we have a living Savior. Let us always be mindful. And this morning, if there's something upon your heart, you might ask God, "What is it that you want me to change?" If you're going through a trial or a tribulation, I encourage you. It's okay for you to ask God, "God, what is it that I need to change?" Because He wants to purify your faith. He is the Almighty God that offers that living hope to you. And it never dies. May we stand and pray together. Father, as we go into this invitational time, we pray that there's any here that needs to renew their faith or come to You and accept You as Lord and Savior, this might be the morning of their salvation. And I pray, God, that You have spoken vividly, that we need to hear You when You speak to us. And I thank You for the opportunity now. We invite all to come to this altar. Thank You, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.